Today's scripture comes from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 24, and select verses from the book of Psalms. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 24. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. And so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. It is so good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Whether it is rainy or sunny, it's wonderful that we gather as a family of God to worship our good God together. This time, I have a privilege and a joy to introduce our guest speaker for today, Pastor Lisa Roerich. She is on staff at the Canadian District Pacific District office, and she is a person who is in charge of mission mobilization. And so if you have any questions about missions, she is the person to ask about the missions, maybe after the worship. Is that okay? Okay. but in all seriousness, we're so blessed and pleased to have Pastor Lisa come back to our worship service to share God's message. And I am sure most of you are familiar with her already. And so as I invite her to the front, would you please join me in welcoming her warmly, please, as a church.
Thank you. I feel welcome. It worked. It's a privilege to be with you folks again today. It's been a while. I think the last time I was here, we were all wearing masks still. So I don't remember the date, but it was a while ago. So now I can actually see you. That's nice. First of all, greetings from the district office, from our district superintendent, Mark Peters, and the rest of the gang at the office. Oh, yes, I'm going to need these here. I was kind of hoping I could do it without the glasses, but there's no way. I broke my real glasses, so I'm just kind of fumbling along here, not quite sure what I'm seeing, but we'll get through this. So I was recently talking with one of our Alliance International workers, and who told me of a couple of church planters in Asia. I won't tell you where they are for security reasons, but this couple shared with our worker how they came to Christ. The man had been in a serious car accident, and somehow a piece of metal went into his chin and came out his eye socket. It's just horrible, I know. And so he was rushed to the hospital. His wife was informed of the accident, but she didn't know where he'd been taken. So she went to the closest hospital looking for him. Is he here? No, he's not. So she goes to the next hospital. Is he here? Next, no. Finally, she goes to a Catholic hospital, and she asks, is he here? And she was told, yes, he was brought here. Unfortunately, he didn't survive his injuries, and he's just passed away. Distraught, this woman, who was a devout follower of a local religion, she turned around, and in this Catholic hospital, she saw a picture of Jesus on the wall. And she thought, well, none of the other gods I've prayed to have helped anything, so I may as well try this one. And she looks at that picture, she says, if you are real, please heal my husband. 15 seconds later, the man's heart began to beat again and his healing was underway. The next morning, this woman goes to a Christian church and says, who is this Jesus who healed my husband? And that was the day she met Jesus, and she became a new person. She went and explained to her husband what she'd learned. He too became a follower of Jesus. He's recovered from his accident, though he has scars as a permanent reminder. But yes, he can see out of that eye. This couple went on to be trained as church planters, and today they are spreading the gospel in a remote area of their own country. These are people we, the Alliance of Canada, are partnering with as we support the training of more church planters in their area, an area where pastors are often put in jail. It's one of the hard and dark places where the Alliance is going. I hope you noticed a theme in the verses that were read a few moments ago. They were all about the nations praising God, about the peoples of the earth praising God. And that's what we long to see, all the nations praising the Lord, because as we sang, he is worthy. Author John Piper wrote, missions exists because worship doesn't, meaning there are many peoples who are not yet worshiping the true God, and thus we need missions to reach them. This church is part of the Alliance Canada. Our full name is the Christian and Missionary Alliance. The Alliance had its beginnings in 1887. Our founder was Albert Benjamin Simpson, led a church and left his church in New York City to start a work amongst immigrants and other people. He was a Canadian, actually, from Prince Edward Island. Simpson had two big burdens. His first was to know Jesus, like to really know him, not just know about him, but experientially know him and become a new person and to lead others into that. His second burden was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the millions around the world who had yet to hear of him. See, as people fall in love with Jesus more, as we know him more and are transformed and become more like him, then we have a growing concern for the people and the things that Jesus is concerned for. Those of every nation, every ethnic group on earth who have yet to hear of Jesus Christ. And so the Alliance was initially a mission sending organization, long before it became a denomination. Simpson took very seriously Jesus' last command that we find in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. So it's at the end of his time on earth, just before Jesus ascends to his Father. So he's the crucifixion, resurrection have already happened. Just before he goes to his Father, he gathers his disciples and he says to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." There are a few things in these verses I want to point out. The first being the word authority. So missions isn't exactly a noble thing in Canadian culture. It's often looked down on. It's seen as colonial. Like, what do missionaries do? They ruin cultures and stuff religion down people's throats, right? Wrong. But that is the perception of many people. Errors have definitely been made. There are things that have been done in God's name as missions that I'm ashamed of. But I am not ashamed of the gospel. As Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of people. So who instructed us to make disciples? It's Jesus, right? And how much authority does he have? All. We dare not ignore this task because our culture doesn't think it's a good thing. Damian Lee is the International Vice President for the Alliance Canada, and he recently wrote, "There are many who would challenge our ongoing global missional engagements based on the current climate of mounting hostility between Protestant evangelicalism and broader Canadian culture. As a counter perspective, permit me to say this. Our response to erroneous engagement is not disengagement, but rightful engagement. And so we send and we go by Christ's authority. There are four verbs in this short passage. Go, make, as in make disciples, baptizing, and teaching. But only one of them is in the imperative form. So come with me for a moment back to high school English class, a refresher course on imperatives. An imperative verb is one that tells someone to do something. It's the command. So the imperative here is to make. Jesus is saying, make disciples. How do we do that? By going to them? Yes, that does include the people across the street, around Vancouver, around Canada, but it also includes around the world. It's intentional. Jesus is telling us to move to other places to make disciples, not just doing it amongst the people that we happen to bump into naturally. And we do it by baptizing, which is an outward expression of the new life, of dying to self and being raised to Christ, a new life in us. And we do it by teaching people to obey what Jesus commanded. Let's talk a little bit more about that teaching piece. He doesn't just say, teach people what I've told you, although it is important for us to know what Jesus taught. But we need to teach people to obey. It's active following, obeying what he said, even if it costs you, even if it hurts, even if it means your life. You'll obey. And this again includes here in Vancouver, in every ministry this church does, the list of ministries that I saw in the bulletin includes all those places, but it includes sending others to do the same, because we are to make disciples of all nations. And the next word I want to look at is nations. In the Greek language, which the New Testament is written, the word here is ethne. It's the word from which we get the English words ethnic, ethnicity. So Jesus is not talking about political nations, of which there are, what, 200-ish on earth. Rather, he's talking about ethno-linguistic groups, people groups. He's talking about every single language, ethnic, cultural group on earth, of which there are multiple thousands. Jesus is saying, go, be intentional, go with my authority and make disciples of every single ethno-linguistic group on earth, baptizing them and teaching them to obey what I've commanded. And we in the Alliance are serious about this. There are about 440 Alliance churches in Canada. Together we have nearly 200 international workers, working in 35 different countries amongst 66 different people groups. And we're employing three major strategies in our international work. One is church development, another is relief and development, and a third is the marketplace. So let's just have a look at each of these briefly. And what I want to do is as I do this, I want to highlight some of the work that people from our district, from British Columbia, are doing around the world. So this is quite biased in the BC light of things here. So church development. We're talking about we seek to establish, grow, and strengthen reproducing faith communities among those with little or no access to the message of Jesus. We're talking about the kinds of ministries that Alliance people have been doing since the founding of our organization for years. Kind of things that people think about when they hear about missions. Start off in Germany. Talk about an initiative we're calling TIDE. Turks in Deutschland is where that comes from. Germany has become home to over 7 million Turkish people. Many of them are disillusioned with Islam, the religion of their homeland, yet they're not yet turning to Christ. There's the sense that Christianity is a Western religion, and they don't necessarily like what they see of Christianity in Germany. I want to introduce you to some people. We'll start in the top left. You may recognize Ralph and Ruth Sharesky. They spent over 30 years in Germany with the Alliance. They are now retired and live in White Rock. They're not exactly retired. They're officially retired. Aware of the Turkish population in Germany, they're the ones who came up with the Tide idea and started initiating this of how can the Alliance be involved in reaching these people. And so they started doing research and did an exploring trip, and who can we partner with, and how can we best contribute to reaching the Turkish people? Well, we've come a long way since then. The couple beneath them there, the young couple, are Joel and Shaylin Hurst. They've got three young children. They're from Alberta. And they, last month, 2 months ago, in August, they moved to Germany to work amongst the Turkish people. After having recently completed an internship or an apprenticeship with our team in Mexico. Now, this is quite a multicultural little story here. So they spent 2 years in Mexico, where the Alliance is working with mentoring lots of young people. They've got mentorship, internship, and apprenticeship programs, training young people not just for missions in Mexico, but for the world. Chris and Angela Hebert and their children, the family on the right. Chris and Angela are the team leaders in Mexico. While Joel and Shay were in Mexico, Chris and Angela were mentoring them. Then there's this other connection between Mexico and Germany, another family. This is Luisa and Carla Hurtado and their children, well, and me. I got to meet them when I was in Mexico this spring. They are members of the Mexican Alliance Church. They've already been working cross-culturally for a number of years within Mexico, in an unreached people group out in the mountains of remote Mexico. But about 5 years ago, God began drawing their attention to the Turks in Germany. Luis started learning German for fun, not knowing where that was going to go. Chris and Angela, this couple shared their burden with Chris and Angela, who went, you have people you need to meet. Chris and Angela introduced them to Ralph and Ruth. Last summer, the Hurtado family went to visit Germany to see if they might fit, like a year ago. And now, this summer, they too have moved to Germany to work among the Turks. So these two families are now on the same team, one from Mexico, one from Canada. Right now they're in language study, but their intention is to work together, partnering with others to establish a church among the Turks in Germany. Cool story. This is, when people think of global missions, this is often the kind of things that we think of, that the evangelism, the church planting, and we're still doing this, we continue to do this. This is important to us. It's the kind of work that I did in West Africa for 20 years. But see, a lot of people just kind of disqualify themselves from missions. They go, well, there's nothing I can do. I can't contribute because I'm not Bible college trained. I'm not a church planter. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist. I'm out. And they kind of breathe a sigh of relief. Phew, it's not for me. Good. But as I mentioned, there are different tracks that we are using. Church plant development is only one of our pathways. Another is relief in development. Participating in God's mission of holistic transformation, proclaiming and demonstrating the gospel as we walk with the poor and the vulnerable, we addressing short-term crises and long-term needs. You know what's going on in Ukraine right now. This picture was taken by a colleague of mine who was recently there on an aid trip. So in a place of war, locals were painting on these bombed out vehicles, turning scenes of despair and destruction into something new, into art. In the face of death, they were painting pictures of hope in a very hard and dark place. Our gifts to the Global Emergency Relief Fund enabled our partner church in Poland to take multiple convoys of food and other supplies over the border into Ukraine. It's also enabled the Polish church to welcome Ukrainian refugees, supplying them with food, helping them with counseling. There's been evangelism, outreach ministries amongst them. This picture illustrates what we in the Alliance aim to do as a movement, to offer hope where it's desperately needed. But we have other workers doing a lot of different relief and development things. We have some in North Africa involved in different medical ministries. There are some nurses on the team, midwives. One of these is from Abbotsford, working with a refugee group from a neighboring country and coaching young pregnant women. Now, some of these women are widowed, their husbands having died in a civil war. Some of these women are unmarried, pregnant because of rape. Most of them are fearful of giving birth and becoming mothers in a strange country where they don't have legal paperwork, they don't have medical coverage. It's scary. Our workers are there, helping them through these pregnancies, coaching them medically, but also loving them, offering hope. And there are numerous other relief and development ministries around the world in which our people are involved. A couple of years ago, I got to visit some of our workers from BC who are working in the Middle East, working to show God's love to people who have suffered a lot at the hands of others who don't think they even deserve to live. A couple ministries we got to take part in. One, it's a local pastor there, a local alliance pastor there. He's super connected with all sorts of different villages around and surrounding areas. He just knows a lot of people. And he took us to a couple of those villages. And these villages are historically Christian. You'll see on the right side of that picture, there's a cross of a church. So these are historically Christian villages, Chaldean, Assyrian. So there's Christian heritage, but very few of these people actually know Jesus. So they've got their villages, their property that they've been on for generations. And they've got they live in these cement brick houses. But their means of making a living is really challenged. Many of the surrounding fields are dangerous because they're riddled with explosives from when ISIS went through 10 years ago. May recall hearing of ISIS, Islamic fundamentalist extremist terrorist group. And when they went through, their fields are dangerous. Now the people of the majority religion are making it really hard for these Christian villages, cutting off services, infrastructure, food supply, etc. With winter approaching, their houses are getting really cold. Imagine a cement brick house with no heat. And they have no way to get kerosene for heat. So the local church meets that need. The city nearby, the Alliance Church there, we just got to go with them. So the local church is doing this, a tanker truck filled with kerosene, giving each household 200 liters. So we visited 60 households in one village, 30 in another, giving these folks enough kerosene to get them through the worst of the winter. And people were so warm and thankful. See, this is the relief and development arm. We're doing these sorts of things, but then that pastor is also sharing Jesus with them. And a number of people in these villages have come to know Jesus, come to learn what that cross is all about that adorns their church. And we actually had a meal in the mayor's home with his family. It's a long and rich day, and one that I won't soon forget. Another ministry I want to mention takes place in an IDP camp. So there are several of these camps for internally displaced people around the area. People who fled for their lives when ISIS came through their villages in 2014. So this is one of the camps taken from a distance. And in one of the camps, actually I believe it's in two of them now, and also in a nearby city, the wife of that same pastor is heading up some centers. And in these centers, it's all about ministry to young women. It's trauma-informed ministry. See, these gals, as girls, they watched when ISIS fighters came through, and they lined up the girls' fathers and brothers, shot them all. And then they took these girls captive. Imagine about the worst you can think of, and you'll be on the right track of what happened to these gals. And this pastor's wife cares deeply. And she's got, so they do cohorts of 15 gals that come for on weekdays for 5 weeks, and in which they're encouraged to express themselves, they're offered hope, there's art and different ways of helping them tell their stories, and as they learn together and cry together, they're taught that their lives matter, that there's hope after the atrocities that they've lived through. They participate in various activities and fun things, and trades kinds of things, learning life skills that can help them make a living. One wall in this center is covered with pictures of trees, like this one, except for they're all colored. Each gal gets one of these kind of little posters, and it's a way of recording their life story. So under the ground, by the roots, they write, "This is where I'm from. This is my home village." Then above the ground, it's, "This is where I am now. This is where I'm living." On the leaves, they've put in the names of people that they've lost. And most of those leaves are full of names. And then on the fruit, or they write, "This is what I've gained. This is what people have given to me." I couldn't understand what was written on these trees because it's not in my language, but some of them were translated for us. And I was just struck by the weight of the stories, moved to tears. And these women are also receiving training in various skills that will help them make a living. Another example of the things that our workers are involved in. And they're doing all sorts of other things there in that country as well, as far as relief and development. So in addition to church development and relief and development, a third strategy that the Canadian Alliance is using is sending workers to the marketplace. It's about engaging people in their own vocational skills as ambassadors of Christ in cross-cultural contexts. I was in Japan last fall, in Tokyo, and was talking with our workers there, Jose and Jocelyn Reverente from Richmond. They talked about the need for marketplace workers to join their team. And they went on and explained, they said, you know, the men were there work really long hours, and often with a commute on either end of their day. So there's not much time for anything else. And then after work, everyone from the office goes out for drinks. So like their lives are full. So how do Western workers build relationships with these people? Really hard. And that brings us to the worldwide marketplace. I want us to have a look at a video. There we go, it's starting, but I don't hear the video.
In spaces where we live our vocational life. The Alliance uses marketplace to describe all the places and spaces where we live our vocational lives, whether in Canada or in another country. In those places, we all represent and demonstrate God's kingdom as ambassadors of Christ. Marketplace is a pathway for people to use their profession around the world. We are continuing to fund and send full-time international workers. However, that approach is limited because of rising costs and countries increasingly restricting access. But the pathway is wide open for professionals of all types to gain employment in the global marketplace and thus bring the presence of Christ to the workplaces and communities where they work and live. The pathway is ready to help you engage this way of bringing Christ to the nations. You're invited to take who you are and what you do and use it for God's glory among those who have yet to meet Jesus.
And there's a huge variety of professions that this involves. So let's go back to Japan. Let's find a Canadian worker, a follower of Jesus who believes that their work is worship, who understands that God has shaped them to do their job for his glory. This person who lives intentionally as an ambassador for Jesus in their Canadian workplace. What if that believer were to get a job in a Japanese company? Doing that job with excellence, integrity, diligence, bringing God's presence into that workplace, making connections in the boardroom and the lunchroom, going for that after-hours drink, but never drinking to excess, stopping at one, or maybe sticking with 7-Up, but building relationships, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks them for the reason for the hope that they have, as Peter instructs us to do. That person would be in a place to reach Japanese professionals for Christ. Maybe you are one of those people. I wanted to mention briefly other ways you can support missions without leaving home. I've got another short video, maybe.
Help what me? Ways are you involved? What ways are you involved? Imagine being able to serve a local church in Niger, a missionary family in the Middle East, or a business as missions in Thailand, all without getting on a plane or even leaving your house. We often think of missions in terms of pray, give, and go. This is not wrong. We need people to go and live amongst the least reached. We need people to give financially to missions work, or the work cannot be done. We need people to pray and ask the Spirit to work so the darkness will be overcome. What if there was another way we can support missions? There is. Serving remotely. While living at home, you can collaborate with work on projects with international workers. Serve Remote is a connecting platform, connecting international workers with Canadians for a specific project. Check out serveremote.org to see opportunities in web development, online mentoring, graphic design, videography, and more. Partner in missions from home, using technology to bring access to Jesus. Another opportunity is Switchboard. Switchboard is connecting believers in North America to bring their skills, talents, and expertise to serve missionaries in the field all over the world. Share your expertise that will help a ministry move forward. Sign up at Global Switchboard to be available for a one-hour conversation and bring your expertise to help missionaries. Whether a one-hour conversation at Switchboard or a particular project on Serve Remote, your help could advance the work of bringing access to Jesus. Check it out today.
Whether it be through church development, relief and development, the marketplace, or serving from home, remotely, we are endeavoring to make Jesus known in the hard and dark places of the world. And the good news is that the task will be completed. In the book of Revelation, chapter 7, the Apostle John is given this beautiful vision of the throne room of heaven. And he says, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. All those people groups we talked about a few minutes ago, they will all be there. Isn't it amazing that God trusts us to make disciples of all nations? He's given the church that task. There is no backup plan. He's trusted us. What will we do with that trust? What will be your part? I want to ask you, if God is kind of nudging you in any of those categories, or not sure which category, will you, actually I'll just ask you, can you just slip up your hand? If God's just bugging you about one of these things. And will you come and talk to me afterwards? Even if you didn't put your hand up, just come talk to me. No, you're not signing up on the dotted line and not committing you to, you know, the old song, please don't send me to Africa. I used to actually change that song and say, please, Lord, send me to Africa, because that he just gave me, he made it so that in my heart I couldn't stay. If God's speaking to you about one of these ways of involvement, will you come talk to me? Let me pray for you. Kind Father, oh, thank you so much for your love for the nations. How incredible it is that you love all peoples, every language group, every culture. You love us. And thank you that you've made a way for us to know you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and the great sacrifice you made for us. Thank you that we know you, but yet there are so many who don't. So, Father, I pray for your blessing on my friends here at VCAC. Will you bless them as they live, as they get to know you more? May they know the fullness that you came to give them, but then may they take that to others. You give them a burden for those who don't know you. You use them in their workplaces and in their play places, in their families, in their community involvement places to tell others about Jesus. And Lord, will you move some from here to the world? And I pray these things in the strong and eternal name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.